To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Hi, and welcome to episode 30 of Mouse Manners and More podcast. Today we have Todd.
Hello.
Kristen.
Hello.
Morgan.
Hey.
Hannah.
Yo.
Becky.
Hi.
And me, Hannah. And we are again on...
What?
And today we're going to go over new trip planning. Now, what we mean by new trip planning is we've already kind of discussed about the times of year to go, what to expect when you're going to go, went over all the parks when you first go to Disney, what to expect. But now, over the last year, they started to introduce My Disney Experience, FastPass Plus, My Magic Plus, all of the pluses, Google Plus. And
Mickey Plus.
Plus money.
Plus.
Plus they want you to use all this.
They do. So they started to integrate all the stuff that you normally did either on the phone or, you know, well, mostly it was on the phone, right? Dining and all that kind of stuff, where you call somebody to help plan it for you, or you call a travel agent, or you call Disney itself and you'd book your vacation that way. Now it seems like they're pushing everything onto you and their website. So what we want to do is try to walk you through what we've experienced on our Disney experience, give you a little hints and what to expect, so you don't get in there and you start getting caught in the world of confusion, the land of confusion, of what Phil Collins used to say. Sorry, 80s reference. Who wants to take it first?
What?
So, sorry, 80s. It's 80s. One of these days you'll respect those, like
yes.
Aldo Nova and Rush. Boston. Sorry, I'm on a tangent. So anyway, what they want to do is they want you to log on to My Disney Experience, which is part of the Walt Disney World website. From there, you get yourself a login, and then you have to start ordering things. So if you want to, who wants to go first? You want to go first, Todd, or
Kristen? Well, I'll say this. The goal of this... is to connect, according to their website, okay, connect to everyone in your travel group by adding them to your family and friends list first. You will be ready to make and share plans together, and in coming months, make same-time FastPass Plus selections. So I think their goal in this is if you're traveling with a big party, you can all connect together and, like say, we're all traveling together, we're two different families, but we're dining at the same places. We can share that information via the internet, and that way I don't have to call Becky and say, now, what time are we eating where on what night? Or she doesn't have to call me and say, now, where's breakfast tomorrow? Because we both have access to it, and it's all right there. And I think that's their goal, is to try to make that part of it easier as far as dining reservations and traveling together with groups.
So let's go into dining, since you brought that up. That's the first thing that you've done. How do we make reservations for dining on there that's any different than what we did in, before they started to institute the whole new system?
Well, before you had to call, and now when you go on the app of the My Disney Experience, you scroll down on the left, and you go to dining, and you can make your reservation right there. You pick the day. You can pick all locations. You can narrow it down to a park or a resort, and then you pick a time frame that you want to eat and
how many people.
Mm-hmm. How many people, and you can look to see what's available.
Okay. But you need to have that My Disney Experience. I think it's one thing, you know, especially in the ages of smartphones.
Yeah,
feeling more prevalent. Not everybody has a smartphone, but. You know, if you want to do this right and on the go, it gives you the mobile capability. It's nice to do it at home from your computer, your okay. tablet at home, or you can, you know, use your smartphone to do that. But it's something you really need to do. And like the introduction of Wi-Fi and this into the parks, that makes it make that flow a little bit easier.
Yeah, well, previously when you would make your dining reservations, you would get an email from them saying, here's your confirmation number. So if you made 10 dining reservations, you got 10 emails. With My Disney Experience, you pull up your login and you pull up your profile, and it's all right there on one page versus 10 different emails. And
In a way, it helps you to not duplicate an evening, but it also helps Disney to where you aren't duplicating an evening, and then later on in time, you pick and choose which one you want. You can only pick one during that time frame.
Right, because they had a lot of problems. People double booking, and yeah. I think a lot of no-shows, you know, and as a result of that, they started charging, you know, $10, $15, whatever, late fee for no-shows.
And right. they will charge you the $10
but now,
per person.
Right. But now if you're trying to make a reservation at the same time you already have something booked, you can't do that, right?
No, they either make, they make you cancel one of
it's
them.
It's usually within about a half an hour. Like if you have one, I've done this, if I have one at 7:30 mm-hmm. at Be Our Guest, and then I decide, well, I think I might want to change it to, I don't know, Yak and Yeti. That wouldn't be it, but at 7:30 Liberty Tree. Yeah. At 8:45, mm-hmm. it will let you do it because there's 45 minutes with in between there. But I think a half an hour, they won't let you do it.
Okay.
But you have, in that case, you need to kind of be in charge of that and cancel whichever one you don't want because, again, you will be charged if you don't cancel your reservations within
24
hours. It's usually within 24 hours. There are a few that are 48 hours.
But we ran into a problem where I guess I was just kind of doing it real quickly. Becky had made a reservation when she was on the site for a restaurant the next day. Like, not in March when we were going to go. It was the next day.
Yeah.
She tried to cancel it and they charged her.
I got so excited. I wanted it for March 6th. Mm-hmm. And it had said January 6th for the exact restaurant that I wanted, the exact time that I wanted. And I got so excited. I said, yes, I want the reservation. And then I realized that at that moment, that date was wrong. And I called and I said, I made a mistake. I forgot to change the date on there. Can I just change the date? I want to make sure I don't get charged. And the lady told me, you will be charged unless you, what's the word? Alter your reservation. And so, therefore, she let me alter the reservation, meaning I altered the date. Otherwise, I would have had to pay the $10 per person, which at that time would have been $3, but a lot of times we go with you guys, yeah. and that's $6. That's $60. That's yeah. a lot of money. So yeah. you need to make double check your date and yeah. make sure you got the right date.
So cancel, to be safe, cancel 48 hours out plus.
Yeah.
Or if you're within that 48-hour window, may have to call Disney.
And alter it,
407-WDW-DINE and say you need to alter a reservation.
Right.
Right. And I had problems booking dining reservations for our March trip because we're DVC. I went through the DVC website and went to try to book them, and it wasn't letting me book them. It would let me book it day by day by day. It wouldn't let me book, 180 days out? It wouldn't let me do 180 days out for our whole entire vacation. And so I did one day, and then I did the next day, and I was like, this is ridiculous. And so I finally called them, and basically what it was my reservation was not syncing up with my Disney experience. So my DVC reservation wasn't syncing up. So, I mean, I just called them and she helped me get my reservations. And then, but they're not on my Disney experience. I have to actually go in and put them in there. And, but she, I was at work. She offered to connect me to them and help me get it synced up, but I just didn't have time. So that's another thing. If you're DVC, that might be an issue. So if you can't, if you see you're not able to go ahead and book your dining reservations 180 days out for your entire vacation, just call them.
Yeah.
And apparently it happens often.
Well, also, like you said, they still send an email confirmation.
Right.
On top of you getting your confirmation, like, on the My Disney app.
Yes.
So I recommend that you keep those until after your trip. And after your credit cards have been cleared so that you aren't charged with any $10 fees that you didn't think, you know, you should be charged, and then you have proof that you canceled it. Because when you cancel, they will send you a
cancellation.
a cancellation number email, and it's different now. Like before, like last year, the cancellation confirmation was the same number as your original confirmation. It's different now.
But it was easier back then. So be careful when you're online, because it was easier back then when you were talking to somebody. You said, I want to make a reservation for January 6th. Then they would say, oh, don't you mean March 6th, right? I mean, it's as easy as a clicking of a button to change things. So
I wouldn't say it was easier. I really believe that this...
Well, you're
going
to have somebody that's on the phone, and you're going to say January 6th to them, and they say, what do you know? It's because your trip isn't then.
Sure, but in the whole big picture...
Online's easier.
Online is easier because the last couple of times that I've had to call Disney, I've been on hold. Like, the very last time I was on hold for 34 minutes before I even talked to anybody.
Well, and it took... When I had to call and make all my dining reservations, it took over 30 minutes. Like, it took my entire lunchtime to do.
Yeah.
And I know she had to do this. I'm not knocking the lady for doing it, but every single time you made the reservation, you realize there's going to be a cancellation fee if you don't cancel within 24 hours. I got it.
Maybe.
So you'd make the next reservation.
You have to have park tickets for whatever park you're going to be in.
Yes, every single time. And we recommend you get there an hour and 45 minutes early. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, lady, I know what I'm doing. But, I mean, I know she has to do it.
Sure.
So, but it's time consuming. Where I could have clicked and clicked and clicked and been done in 15 minutes, probably less, online and gone and actually gotten to eat lunch that day. Just saying.
So,
but it helps to see it seems faster. You search for number of people in your party, the times you want, the restaurants you want, whether it be in parks or resorts or areas like Downtown Disney.
I did our June trip in 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Two or three reservations for sure.
Yeah.
So once you got your diet, and that brings up another point, is prior to like FastPass Plus and planning out your days that you're going to the park, dining was pretty easy because you could jump up and you could go to a different park or you could go to a different resort, to go eat.
Well, that's now, for us, because we have Park Hopper.
But now what I'm saying is, you're with all of the new My Disney Experience and all that kind of stuff, you're having to plan out your whole day that says, I'm going to be at the Magic Kingdom for the whole day, I'm going to ride these three certain rides, and I got to plan my dining out accordingly to where I'm going to be. So you have to plan out your trip.
More in detail.
Yeah, more in detail.
Yeah.
So the dining may be easier to do now, but it's the dining and now the fast pass and planning out your resorts. And if you want to switch the dining, if you find, hey, you want to be our guest, so it means I'm going to be at Magic Kingdom, which means I'm going to have three fast passes for that day. Now you have be our guest or something else comes up, like, maybe you really wanted to eat at La Cellier in Epcot that day. You weren't ever able to get La Cellier, you just got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not going to jump up out of Magic Kingdom and go to Epcot and then come back to Magic Kingdom again. You have to reorganize your whole entire day on your dining.
Yeah, it's getting very scheduled. Which,
I don't
for
like
us,
that part.
You don't like that part. We don't like that part either. I mean, it's a vacation. You ought to be able to just go and just wake up, decide what park you want to go to. And once you get there, I like the idea. You got a fast pass or you didn't. You went there and you could go up to the little kiosk stand or whatever you call it and get it then, rather than having to plan 60 days out what you're going to do every single minute.
And it was kind of fun, like, rushing to the fast pass line, because then you're just laughing when you're, like, running.
Or you had a chance to actually ride that ride.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas now, there might not be a chance.
Yeah, like Hollywood Studios, if you don't pick Toy Story, sorry, you're going to be standing in line for 1 to 3 hours. If it's any kind of a...
So it doesn't matter if you're on site.
Crowded
you get
day.
Up extremely early to get the fast passes, you're out of luck.
Yep.
Because there was not going to be any of it. So let's go over that, because we went over dining. Does anybody else got anything to add over planning dining out? That seems to be...
But still 180 days out, right?
That's 180 days
out. 180 days out from your first day on your vacation, unless you run into issues like we did. But you should be able to book for your entire trip, the first day of your trip, 180 days out. So continue to still, you know, I guess it starts at, is it starts like at 12:01 that day?
Starts at 8 a.m.
Probably 8 a.m. Yeah.
Okay. We, so now the phone, the, some of the, used to call, it's, some of those open
tried
at 7.
To, in the past, and they may have changed this, in the past we've tried to get certain restaurants, I think it was Be Our Guest, when they first opened, we tried to get them, you know, at midnight the night of our 180 days, and
right,
it wasn't you late. Had to wait till 8 a.m.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so early in the morning, check in, you know, 7, 8 a.m., to get there, and you know, and it could change in the future. So if you want,
yeah. On a side note, if you can't get the restaurant you want, if say you want to go to Be Our Guest and every night of your vacation it's full, go ahead and book a dining reservation. But here's what I did, because we ran into this our last trip. We had a dining reservation at Be Our Guest, but we needed to change it to a different day, and they had nothing on that day. Every single day. And it wasn't the same time of day. I would do it after work. On the weekends, I'd get up in the morning, and I checked every single day to see if there was a cancellation for the day we wanted to move it to. And finally, I found it. Finally, it came up. So check it every day. If there's a restaurant you really, yeah. really want to go to, it's worth checking every day to see if you can get in there.
Yeah. And it takes a couple minutes, really. Yeah, once you get into the app, and you know, play, go play with it, and you know, check it out, and that's how you get familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my Disney experience has a lot of information on there. Like you said, play with it mm-hmm. and check it out.
Cool.
And if you don't get the restaurant that you want and you don't ever get it, you can always make another trip and go again.
Oh, that's bad.
That's what Disney wants you to do.
Right, because like I said, we've been blessed enough to go to a lot of times, so now we tend to plan our... At least we do plan our vacations around dining now. Is, you know, first two yeah. times you usually plan around the parks and what you want to do. Because then that's the primary thing to see, you know, especially you got kids and family, is to go to the park, you know, parks and rides and stuff. But then if you're going back multiple times, then you start planning around food. Or that's what
we
do.
Around food. And we always try something different.
Right.
We always, I mean...
But start with food, least, then kind of mingle that with the parks.
Yeah, at least coordinate. One... different restaurant each time we go. We try. You know, we don't always do it, but we try, and we'll see.
Do you think that's a good rule, like what you said, for anybody that's going to go, is plan your... I know it sounds bad, not everybody's a foodie, but plan your My Disney experience and where you're going to go that day on dining? Because we got into the spot one on a couple of trips at Disney. We didn't plan any dining out at all.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get any dining at all, and therefore we were eating chicken nuggets, hamburgers, and hot dogs yeah. for a whole week.
All right.
Well, we touched on that before. If you have, I'll say this, if you've gone less than 5 times, you don't know that there's, like Mexico has the good chips and salsa,
right.
or the chicken soft tacos, which I love, or that Yorkshire... What is it called? Yorkshire Fish Company, which is also in Epcot, has
The fish and chips.
The fish and chips, which is so good, and it's quick service. You
need to research.
Yeah.
You need to research, and whatever, you know, what your family likes. And, there's several websites out there that have the menus on them. And that's what we do. We've been how many times, and we still look at the menus. We go through the menus. We look at the food, see what food we'll like, see what food we think the girls will eat. And that's how we plan our meals.
Yeah.
And
I would say if you're not a foodie, as you said, if you're going for 7 days, make at least 3 dining sit-down reservations. That way, you're getting a good variety of food.
But you're not driven.
3 of the nights you're on a time frame, the other 4 you're not. You can eat whatever you find.
Right. And I mean, that's part of the Disney experience, though, is eating at some of these, especially the ones, you know, if you have younger kids and you're eating at the ones with characters, that's a huge part of the Disney experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's priceless to see the looks on these kids' face when they first see that princess come up to their table, or that, you know, Winnie the Pooh come up to their table. It's priceless to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, it's just a fabulous experience for the parents and the children. Mm-hmm. And so...
And those you have to have a reservation.
Those you have to have a reservation. And a lot of them you have to have reservations well ahead of time. So mm-hmm. you need that 180 days. Cinderella's Royal Table is one of them. You right. have to, 180 days out, you have to be online or on the phone trying to get that reservation. Yep. And it's worth it. It's so worth it. Mm-hmm. To take an hour to 2 hours out of your day and go and sit down, have a decent, it's good for the parents because they get to sit down, they get to relax for a little bit, they get to eat, they yep. get to, you know, the kids are...
Entertained.
They're entertained. And even at restaurants without the characters... That's Disney. They are family-oriented, and they're going to cater to those kids. And, you know, a lot of the waiters and waitresses will engage with the children. And that's just part of the experience. I mean, you're missing out if you don't take advantage of that.
So how would you know what restaurant? Because Disney, I mean, it's a company, right? So all the restaurants are going to be good to them. Whereas, like, some we have our favorites and some we would never go back to. So how do we determine... If I'm brand new, or I've gone 5 times, and I really wanted to start to get into dining, where I'm planning on my Disney experience, which ones I want to go to, where do I go to after that to find out what real people...
Well, I think you go to websites, you look at the forums, and you ask around, because there's going to be people all around you that have been to Disney, that have eaten at Disney, that have... I work with a guy who's going in 2 weeks, first time. Taking his kids. I don't know if he's been there before or not, but first time taking his kids. He has a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And
wow.
He is, he's going, he told me last week that he's going to a restaurant where there's a princess experience. I told him to eat beforehand. Oh, it's just, you know, the princess experience is great, but...
You're not going for the food.
You're not going for the food. So, I mean, ask around. Ask the people you work with. Ask the people, you know, your neighbors, your friends. Ask around. And if your friends don't know, they may know somebody that knows.
Mm-hmm.
Buy the books. There's books, all kinds of books out there that have reviews of all the restaurants.
Try to get somebody that's really impartial.
Yes. Like, yeah. Because, you know, we've read some reviews and we've tried those restaurants and they've been horrible.
Yeah.
And the reviews are like, oh, those were great.
Forums, I think, yeah. That's really good advice because you have to find people, especially, I don't know if we should say it. We always go to allears.net.
Yeah. And that's
right. They've got dining forums on there. They've got, and we love it. Mm-hmm. It's like they got the score on there. You can go in there. But you also see real world people that have dined like maybe last week. So you can see people that have dined like a year ago and say, I hated it. And then all these people said, hey, things have changed and now it's good.
Right.
Because, right. You know, we may have had a really bad dining experience and say it on our podcast that, hey, this thing is awful and I never go back there. But they could have changed their menu. Things have gotten better except for Maya Grill.
Service
was horrible.
It'll be years before we go back there.
But,
yeah, I agree with that. And Ollier's has the menus. That's where I always go to look at the menus.
Yeah, that's a good wealth of information, I think.
They do have the menus, but I would still suggest to go to the My Disney Experience or My Disney app because they have the more up-to-date. Because we've been to Ollier's. They've had a partial menu before. Might not have been, you know, the full amount of entrees that
right.
the place actually had, which was at my grill again. But still.
But you will get a good idea of what it's about. You'll
but, yeah, they about. Have they list the reviews of people that have gone, and that is a great place to go to
right.
start.
Yeah, that's unbiased, too. I mean,
yeah.
Thank you, all ears.
Thanks, Deb.
And you know, what one person likes, someone else may love.
Sure.
So
that's true. Everybody has different palate, different opinion.
But if the service is awful, usually the service is awful.
Hannah has an app that she actually got. What's it called, Hannah?
Disney World Magic Guide. It has maps, dining, which is just like all the menus from all the parks and resorts. They have wait times, park hours, and events, and
How much did you pay for it?
I think I paid $5 for it.
So probably $4.99 for the app.
But that's worth it. I mean, that's a wealth of information right there.
Very much. Especially if you don't know everything about Disney.
Right.
I think that's what you should do is just get a mix of info.
You just have to research. You know, when you're planning any vacation, you need to research where you're going and what you're going to do. And, you know, you don't have to plan every single minute, but, you know, with Disney, you have to, if you want to eat other than hot dogs, hamburgers, and chicken nuggets, you need to make dining reservations.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it depends on who you are. If you go into My Disney Experience, whether you plan the parks out first or you plan out the dining first, depending on, I guess, what your family is. But if you get...
I just want to mention that when you do go to the app, the My Disney Experience, and you go to dining, you can click on the restaurants and you can pull up the menus for those. So they are there on that app as well. Okay.
But so let's say we've got dining out of the way, or dining comes next. So planning out your vacation normally is either done through like an agent or you call up on the phone and say, I want to start, right? You can't actually do that online, can you? Can you say, I'm going to come down for 7 days on that and then book your vacation?
Yes, you can do it on the My Disney Experience app too.
And you can pay for it all there? And
you can pay for it all there as well.
So, okay, I didn't know that. So it's
one-stop shopping for everything. For you can buy tickets, park tickets, reservations.
Yep.
Explore your
dining.
Resort.
Yep.
Get your resort of maps. And
extra magic experiences, tours, whatever.
Okay. Would you ever have to talk to anybody on the phone? Can you book it all and never have to talk to anyone?
If Disney's app worked at 100%, no, you wouldn't have to talk to someone. But since this has been going on, almost every trip that we've had, I have had to call and talk about an issue, whatever the issue might be, whereas one of the issues that we recently had is they changed my daughter's birthday, Hannah, sitting right here. She's 13, going on 14, and they changed her birthday to 2013, which made her an infant, and it took... probably 5 days to get that changed.
Which means she couldn't ride any rides. She couldn't have any reservations at restaurants correctly.
We could do the restaurants because we're not doing the dining plan. But if we were on the dining plan, we wouldn't have been able to because she's an infant.
So she'd be on the kids
She would have been an infant, you know, in online. So we wouldn't have been able to do that. But we couldn't do any fast passes for her.
Yeah.
Until we got it changed. And it took 5 days. I mean, there seems to always be a glitch. The first time that we went to Disney in October with the my Magic Band, which was still in, it was still a brand new baby.
Testing.
Almost every day they were breaking down. You couldn't get on there and change anything. It would take, you know, 15 minutes to 3 hours before they were back up again. Mm-hmm. They are still having an issue.
Well, let's talk about Magic Bands in a second, after we want to talk about that too. But let's say we've got our resort. You can actually look online and see your calendar and see what park you're going to go to and the dining that you're going to as well, which is nice. I think that's really handy. You can click on it. You can see what your day is like.
If you want to be scheduled.
It is a little intrusive because you have no ability now to be
free,
kind of, spontaneous.
On vacation.
There's no way to do it because they're going to take the Fast Pass kiosks out where you go in. It was like Morgan was talking earlier before we started. One of the things you really like to do was get there early, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get there early, go to Toy Story, you and your dad would get there, get the Fast Passes, and you'd be done and you'd be ready to go later on, which is not going to be the case.
Sometimes you could even go right then, too.
You could get your Fast Pass and then get in line, and the line wasn't 3 hours long yet.
Right.
And so you could ride it twice.
Or if you got there early enough, that was your time for Fast Passes right then. Not for Toy Story, maybe some of the other ones.
But that's a lot what we did with Soarin' also. We'd get to Epcot, they'd run to get Fast Passes, and then usually the line is, maybe 45 minutes, but that's short for Soarin', and so wait in line for 45 minutes, and by the time you get off, it's almost time for your fast pass.
Yeah.
And so you can ride it again. And
so you could be spontaneous with it. And also, they have those things at Epcot where it said fast passes are still available from this time to this time, so you could say, I'm going to go shopping or going to go get a bite to eat and have my fast pass and then come back to it, right? Which is not the case now.
And sometimes, like, for Toy Story, like, one time we got it for, like, really late, and we were going to go to another park. Wait, are we going to go to another park and then come back and do it?
Well, I think with, I guess going into like FastPass Plus, it makes sense. Like if you could pick the rides that you wanted to do, like take for instance when we first went, FastPass Plus was going in. It was in the testing phases. They allowed you to pick three rides out per park that you're going to go to. You couldn't switch between parks. I don't think you can now either. So you have to decide what park you're going to go to, the three rides you want to go to. And get fast passes for them, which was totally brilliant when they allowed you to do whatever ride you wanted to do on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take for instance, we went to Epcot. The three rides we like to ride are Soarin', Test Track, and we picked Maelstrom. That was perfect. We knew we were going to get to ride them. We rode them at the times we wanted to ride them. We had our dining there. We knew how our day was planned out, and that wasn't too bad. I mean, it actually worked out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But now they tiered it. They've got the rides that are on different tiers. So,
so you basically can't get all the headliners, Test Track, and Soarin' together. I mean, they're that's the two big rides there at Epcot to do.
Right.
So now you can't book those at the same time or same group of times. Is that
No, you get one a day.
One a day.
Just one a day.
Yeah.
One. So you pick which one you want a fast pass
for. And the other
one
you have to do a standby.
Yeah.
And
then you pick, like, rides that...
wouldn't need a fast pass.
Don't, yeah.
Right.
Like the Michael Jackson ride.
So it's like the first tier would
be
it's
not a ride.
Yeah, we never pick that.
Well, the first tier was like Soarin' and Test Track and Maelstrom. The second tier, so you pick one out of that. And the second tier was... like Living with the Land, Spaceship Earth, Captain EO, Journey into Imagination, stuff like that.
I mean, Spaceship Earth, have you? I mean, I've never seen that ride over 30 minutes.
I haven't either.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Because it's constantly moving.
Well, unless it stops.
Yeah, I'm never riding that.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm never riding it again.
So you got
maybe
the second
if
group.
Rides.
The second group with two of them in there, you never need it.
No. So the second two are basically a waste of time. So really, they just need to say you get one fast pass a day for that park.
They should.
I think they should still keep. Are they keeping the other ones too, or are they eventually going to get rid of them?
I think they're going to try to eventually get rid of them.
You mean where you take your card and stick it in?
Well, they're gone out of the Magic Kingdom now.
I think they should have kept those because, like, some people don't want to keep their day so structured and you have to come here at this time and here at this time.
I think you'll get a lot of complaints from Florida residents.
Well, on top of that, you know, like, they had the big cup issue where you had to, if you bought the refillable mugs, that's, like, gone down the drains for Disney. It's a... they're losing money on it all day long.
Well, what they were saying was, and this is a side note, was the reason why they did it was everybody was realizing they would go up and they would get their cup full of soda and they'd have to wait an hour where the coffee and the tea and the water and all that stuff was free, unlimited. So everybody was doing coffee and tea and water.
Instead of pop.
And pop for them is like, I mean, it's like water for them.
Mm-hmm.
They get it basically free, so they were losing money off coffee and tea.
So...
The manager stopped it.
So back to the fast passes, they've covered those machines up where you used to take your room key and stick it in and get a fast pass. They've covered them up. I'm told that they're going to be taken away. But maybe they'll let them sit there for a while and see how this all plays out.
I could see a Florida resident coming in there and, you know, on a whim, I think I'll go to Disney today. You know,
yeah,
I got the day off. I think I'll... you know, I'm caught up on everything. I think I'll just run over to Disney and spend the night there.
Can't get a fast pass.
You can't get a fast pass.
They've narrowed down the extra magic hours.
Which, okay, say it's January, and this person just wants to run over to Disney because they live right there close, and, you know, the park is, I mean, okay, so the park is probably not as full as it normally would be, and you could probably walk on most rides, but...
There's still those big rides that...
You know, it's not, you're harming your Florida residents because...
It would seem like...
They can't just, on a whim, come in and do the park like they used to be able to do.
And maybe it could be, like, with families with smaller children, you don't know what they're going to be like that day. Like, you don't know what any, like, two-year-old is going to act certain days. They have their good days and their bad days. So you can't say, this time we have to be at this ride. They may not want to be at that ride at that time.
They fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, what if they, you know, maybe their normal naps time is at 1 and they fell asleep at 11 and your fast pass is 11.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Yeah.
Really?
They're not going to be happy on that ride and it's not going to be good for the other guests.
Because Peter Pan is a ride that would fit into your scenario because it is for little kids. And Peter Pan is usually a really long wait.
Yeah. Right.
So if you have a fast pass and you lose it, that's going to stink.
And nobody's just going to wake up a two-year-old. That's not good for the people with the child or the people around the child.
Yeah, that brings up a lot of good points. I mean, it worked good for us when we had the ability to choose whatever ride that we wanted to. It actually worked. It worked well, but it was
definitely like being on a schedule and going from here to there and not.
And you had mentioned to me that you felt like you were running from place to place to place.
Yes, I didn't feel like I was relaxing like you should be on a vacation.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, because you got to constantly be watching the clock.
Yeah.
But, that's not what I want to do at Disney. I want to be oh, it's already 3 o'clock? Wow!
Yeah.
And the things they do for your three rides is they suggest times that you go. So you can't actually say, I want this time and this time and this time for each one of those rides. You get a suggestion, you accept the suggestion, and then you say, all right, now I'm going to try to adjust this one ride to a different time. And you may not be able to at all.
No.
So it's not like going to get a fast pass where, you know, hey, it's going to be at 8 o'clock tonight, and I know I can do a couple other things beforehand. It's pretty rigid on which ride you have to ride. You know what? Honestly, I wouldn't have that much of a problem with it if they didn't have the rides on there that are useless to have a fast pass for.
Like Michael Jackson.
I don't think so.
And plus, like you said, like trying to adjust them, when they had the regular ones, you could really just wait for the time to move. If it was like at 11 o'clock, and you had, like, a reservation, then you could wait till it went after your reservation time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've kind of figured out why they split it up. Is because, like, if you want to ride Test Track one day, but you really want to, like, you only have 4 days at Disney, and you're going to one park each day. If you want to go to Epcot and ride Soarin', but you, have to get the fast pass for Test Track, you're going to be like, well, I probably should stay another day so I can ride the other ride that I want to ride. So they're probably getting more money off of that.
That's true.
That's a good idea. Well, or a good thought.
But what if you're only there for 4 days and you wanted to spend a day in Animal Kingdom, but you wanted to ride Test Track and Soarin'? Which one are you going to choose, right?
So right now, you're limited to one park per day for the Fast Pass Plus.
Yep.
So you can't.
You can't park hop.
You can't park hop with a Fast Pass Plus.
Mm-mm.
Which kind of brings up the point too, is to save some money. You might want to just go with one park a day. I mean, really, if you haven't been there for a while, you can't park hop and get another Fast Pass. To save some money, you might consider just doing one park a day.
But then wouldn't they be, like, losing money? Say you had a Fast Pass for Everest in Animal Kingdom, and you finished up everything there, and you've gone through all the shops. What if they wanted to go to Epcot and wanted to have a Fast Pass there, but they could have, like, went around the countries and bought stuff from the countries? They could be losing that money they could have bought at the countries if they've already been to Epcot.
Yeah, it forces you to stay in one park.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
So that would be a suggestion to kind of give you 3 fast passes a day, but then you have the option to change, or once you get down there, depending on where you're at, you know, and once you've rode a ride once, you can't get another fast pass that same day for that.
No.
Right.
Now, when we were there in October, we definitely, I think this is what you're saying, we would get on our iPhones and play with our fast passes all day long to switch the times, but at that time we could pick whatever 3 rides we wanted.
Right.
And
you still can, as of right now, in the Magic Kingdom, they're not tiered, so you can go to the 3 big headliners.
Mm-hmm.
So what's like the time separation? I mean, you can't get them back to back, so you can't do like 9 to 10,
no.
10 to 11, 11 to 12?
So there, you get 4 choices, and some of them are rough, 1 or 2 of them might be roughly like that,
mm-hmm.
But, you know.
That's kind of forcing you to spend more time. A day, or at least half a day in the park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least a half a day.
Yeah.
And then by that time, you're wanting to get your dining. And so, if you're going to spend half a day in a park, you're going to get the dining as close to that park as you possibly can.
Right. Or during, you know, a couple in the morning, you can always leave the park, go back to your resort, like a lot of people do, and then come back to that same park later that night.
Yeah, you could.
So you could have a late fast pass and 2 early fast passes.
That is something that we came across just last week. We were trying to do fast passes, and my question was why couldn't we get a fast pass during extra magic hours? Because Magic Kingdom had like 11 to 1 extra magic hours, but you could not get any of your fast passes during that time. It had to be during regular operating hours for the park.
Hmm. Did they do that for the regular fast passes? I didn't think they did that for the radio.
No, because I remember they
were always... Usually they're already gone, but then...
Well, that's true, yeah.
But they should just do, like, you can get 2 major rides, but in 2 different parks. They should allow that, because then you're going to 2 different parks. You could be able to go to 2 different parks, and it's...
Well, like, so you should be able to do 3 parks, 3 rides, and you didn't, no matter what park it is.
Yeah.
Like, for Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, for us, it's a, like, half-day park, and mm-hmm. you could still enjoy both of them, but...
Right. They might do. Like I said, it's still new, and it's in testing. They're trying to learn as they're going, and, you know, their policies and procedures may change. So, you know, they may wipe out the tiers, or, you know, add tiers to every park. So, you know, it's still... Until he, I think, you know, use it for a couple of years and kind of look at the data and do an analysis of the data and what's going on and you know, go from there. And maybe they may adjust it and tweak it a little bit.
It'd be nice.
And you know, always provide feedback, you know. If you know, I'll say complain, but, you know, feed them suggestions. You know?
They should do, like, how, like, we've been stopped into... like, survey restaurants that have been in the park, they should do the fast pass the same way.
Well, sure they will. Like, just the surveys.
Leave it in the park.
Right, yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Take a time, you know, take 5 minutes and do a survey. And, you know, because at the end, I think, is they always offer, you know, just rant, you mm-hmm. know, free comments, whatever you want to say. And, you know, that's a good mm-hmm. opportunity to do that, provide that feedback. And, you know, usually Disney is very good at listening.
Yeah, they are. I mean, don't ever skip on it. Like you said, don't ever skip on an opportunity to voice your opinion. I mean, don't do a rant, but, you know. So, the next thing that we need to talk about, I guess, is the new Magic Band, which is basically your ticket to your resort room, your ticket to spending money in the park, your park tickets are on there. What are your guys' thoughts about having that in comparison to a card?
I like cards.
I like cards. Because I always forget to, like, since it's a bracelet, I always forget to put on any bracelets, for that matter. So, I'll probably forget that, and then I'll be like, oops.
Yeah.
Because I was always in charge of, I've got 3 cards, one for the each of us in my purse. They stay there. When we go to the park, you check in, you give me your card back, I've got the cards. Now, each individual is responsible for their Magic Band.
And plus, I'm just now,
My mother just allowed me to keep my own card.
Well, that's the thing. We have teenagers, and they're more responsible. You put a band on a 3-year-old. Come on, really?
Yeah.
Mommy, this is itching me. Mommy, this is...
Or playing with it.
And then eventually one of them's going
to
break.
You know, like I think of this family that the guy I work with, they're getting ready to go. They have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. Really?
Yeah. You could put it around its head.
So, that's just something bulkier than a card that the mom is going to have to keep up with because those kids are not going to wear it.
Yeah.
The little girl may wear it for the first day thinking it's cool, but then it's going to bug her. Yeah. And it's going to be like, I don't want this anymore.
It bugs me.
And so, I think for family, especially families with littler kids, I think it's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. I think it's just more for parents.
I think they should have, instead of a big bulky bracelet, they should have, a little charm. So, you could put your charm on a necklace or you could put your charm on a chain or something instead of having a big bracelet on your arm.
Or have options.
Yeah.
Because then you can please all the guests for having, a bracelet. Because some people it's easier to keep up with a bracelet than it is a card, and some people bracelet.
You got the chain and it could break. And you could...
Yeah.
Well, even our teenage girls... These aren't the prettiest bracelets in the world. They're not
and they're really bulky, and they won't match everything, my problem. And I'm not this child person.
If you're a fashionista, your bracelet has to match.
Goes to the other thing.
Well, gray is the one that you get when you don't choose a magic man, so you don't want that one.
That's the default.
So you can pick.
Or the day people spending the day at, or staying at the Disney Resort.
Right. You can, when you do get a bracelet, you either get blue, red, yellow, pink, green, or gray. And those are your choices, and that's what you have for the entire length of your stay.
They have little sleeves and stuff that you can decorate it with,
they do have decorations at Disney that you can purchase.
Now people are saying they're decorating their own.
Their own.
I mean, I've seen people, do nail polish and different stickers.
I would mess it up.
Yeah, because if you mess it up, that's it.
You get one free. They'll replace it one time free, but after that, I think it's, $50 for every base bracelet you have to replace. But if you lose it, while you're on vacation.
I'd say if you lose it or you get one free, you're getting the gray one.
I'm sure you are. Right. Yeah.
And plus, if you, if it's too big for your wrist for, do they have different sizes?
They have different.
They do have different sizes. Yeah,
but still, some people's wrists are smaller and they don't really know what size to get.
Or larger.
Yeah, so they may fall off and you not even realize it, and then you get back to your room and it's just
it's gone. And
can't get in my room now.
Yeah.
Now, that was a little water weight that I had gained that day where my wristband had popped off, so I really take offense to what you just said.
Well, and that's the other thing. When you, you go out to get ice. Say I'm in my room by myself, and I go out to get ice, and I don't have that bracelet on. I'm out of luck.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And plus, I really don't want to carry that thing everywhere.
That's the difference between a bracelet and a card. I mean, if you don't have a card, you're out of luck, too.
I know, but...
And a card is easier to slip it in your pocket.
Typically, I'll grab my purse. If I'm the only one there, I'm going to grab my purse and walk out and...
I will say I carry a Vera Bradley crossbody purse while I'm at Disney most times that I go. And I probably wore my magic band one or two days the last time we went. And I figured I just didn't like it. And I took it and put it on my purse strap. So if I had my purse, I had my magic band. And it was much more comfortable for me. So...
And you didn't have any problem. Did it fall off or anything?
No.
Seem very secure.
Yeah, they are very secure.
They're waterproof, so you can hop in the pools with them. The kids can go get in the water parks or pools.
Yep, that's a grand idea because, if you go to the water parks, you can swim. Doesn't matter.
If you set it up before your trip using the My Disney Experience and order, It comes with your name. You can put a name or nickname or whatever you are.
Yep.
Sometimes identifying mark. I'm sure probably the ones, the gray ones for the non-resorts, they're probably just bland and don't have anything, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know how long it would take to add their names, but you know, they, part of the customization of the band is getting your name and or
like, which
say,
is
whatever.
Good because say like you three all got red.
Right. We don't know which band is what.
Who of you have spending privileges and one of you doesn't, which that's not your case, but just, you know, scenario. With your name on it, you can tell whose is whose.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you all want to have matching bands.
Well, here's my thing. You know those bands cost more than those cards.
Oh, yeah.
And those cards were simple.
So, who do you think's paying for those?
Hello.
Can we just keep the prices down and do the cards?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's a billion-dollar project.
Yeah.
That's your... You're combining it all in one now. You got your park tickets. You got your room tickets, so you don't have to keep up with. Well, if you're staying in a resort, most time your park ticket is your room key.
Exactly,
but you said that before anyway with a card.
But it's still cheaper to print out, like, for the annual passes. They're different than the room key. That's just a piece of paper, and a card form. That's it, and it's not a band that. Probably cost way more than a piece of paper does. Which I know costs more than a piece of paper does.
Well, I don't mean to be Mr. Positive, but sorry. I know that's not my role. But I liked it. I can't say that I didn't. I wore it. It got me into the room. It worked 100% of the time. I was able to get into the park faster. I think the throughput of the people into the park was a lot faster than the card. When I would go to buy at a restaurant, they'd bring like a little iPod up to you, tap it on there, and you're paid and you're gone and you're out. You don't have to sign anything or anything like that. I mean,
we had an issue with, they sell little characters like a Mickey or a Minnie character that goes around the area where the reader actually is in that in the magic band. And if you put the little character on there, it makes a space that is enough to where when Hannah was trying to buy something at France and she was tapping it on to the reader, it wouldn't read it. And the only thing that we could come up with was that it was because of the extra space.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of liked it. I liked wearing it. I didn't think it was too intrusive.
Comfortable?
I was comfortable, Tim.
Individual choice, you know. Yeah. If you like it, you can wear it. If not,
I could see where the card is an advantage, especially since they put the RFID in there. You could just tap it on the things anyway. So I think that probably, if they gave you a choice of having the band or having the card, that would probably be the best, I guess, on personal preference. But I liked it.
Well, my problem is going to be mine is not going to match my shoes.
Nothing matches your shoes.
And it didn't match my Merce. I mean, I was going to hang it on there, but it didn't match the color.
I'm just saying.
I had to put it on my wrist.
Well, mine's not going to match anything unless I'm wearing that exact color.
Well, mine was my favorite color, and I still didn't like it. So I don't know.
For me,
Todd will match everything he wears.
UK blue.
Is there any colors
on
blue?
That's the only thing he wears. And gray.
No, I wore
blue and gray.
White.
And white. That's the three colors. Well,
okay.
Which one matches band thing?
What I found is nothing really matches gold spandex, so.
I had no space.
That's why you need to customize your band now. Get the gray and you can
put some pixie dust on it.
Yeah, pixie dust, glam it up. Bling it up, you know, and that's gonna be that's gonna be a new thing. Is, you know, as I'm already hearing, you know, that's what cast members are looking for is what have you done to your magic band? How have you Disneyed it up? You know,
well, when we first were asking about the magic band, I was like, do you get a different color every time you come, or do you have to reuse the same magic band each time. And they said, oh, no, you get a different one every time you come. You know, in 6 months from now, there'll be kids that'll have them lined up to their elbows. And my first thought was, okay, that's great, but how are they going to know which one is the active one?
They just go,
like a piano.
Yep. We're just always keeping it on the bottom and just, you know, work your way up.
That's true.
So that'll be interesting to see. That's something you kind of watch out for. People do hidden Mickeys. Now you can do, magic band watching.
Yeah.
That'd
be cool.
But that's what I'll do when I'll sit on the bench. I'll let y'all know how many I see that are glammed up.
There you go.
Take pictures.
Not to glam ours up when we go.
No.
Yeah.
Glam away.
Or I guess mine is.
Once you got enough, you can make a belt.
A magic band belt.
There you go.
And then
just
you can
stick your belly up to the...
Or you can do it to your side,
so it's not like...
That would be bad if you went into one of those stores and they
just hit
and you're looking for
the...
a magic band and you went... I don't think you... I'll let you have it for free, okay?
Hey,
security.
That's
a good idea.
I don't want to get kicked out of Disney.
Well, yeah. Or you could redneck it up and put rope through one side of it and make a belt out of that and put rope on the other side.
It's easy. Belt buckle.
Yeah. All right, anything else on our Disney experience? I know there's a lot of personalizations you can do on the website. You can put your own, like, little... character picture for it on there. You can select different people that could switch between fast passes and dining reservations and stuff.
So you can share with your friends. Like I said, we talked about it earlier. If you're going with a group of big, you know, family, friends, you know, like you look at different itineraries, different reservations, what you're going when you're going, to make that, you know, experience more pleasurable. We'll have to, deal with some of the communications that can call person 2-3 times and. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll just look at the app, and you know, the big thing is to make sure you get, you know, somebody in your party has at least one smartphone, and use it, and you know, that's one you want to definitely use, and it's free. You can download it for either iPhones or for Droid based phones. So that's one thing you need to be sure you do. You know, like I said, get on and play around with it, look at it, and you know, have it with you.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody know? Just off subject. Does anybody know if they've got anything else other than going to concierge or the little kiosks in the parks that you can do planning if you don't have a smartphone? I mean, on the off chance that you don't have internet, you know, you could go to a public library, I guess, and do it online there, but it's kind of a hassle.
I'd say you're still going to have to call.
You can probably still call, but I mean, not everybody has a smartphone, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you don't have one, even for, you know, just regular day guests that maybe not staying on the property, they have the kiosks, there's different kiosks throughout the parks.
What is when you come into the Magic Kingdom, what's that called? The
guest relations?
Yeah, guest relations.
Yeah. Sure, you can...
Still go there.
Still go there and check it out and see what you're going to do.
Yep. Maybe a good thing on the app is... if you have a flight that's connected to this, you can get on there. Make sure when your flight times are. Just not that we do that, but if we did, I'd want to double, triple check when my flight was.
Yeah. They have wait times. I mean, it's really the most current. There's a lot of apps out there that have wait times. So usually you have one or two of those. You try to check them, make sure they're kind of in sync with each other. But usually, you know, it is a Disney. You know, based app, and they are, you know, very accurate. Usually within, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, updates every 4 or 5 minutes, and mm-hmm. they're very accurate.
Yeah.
It's very fun when you're at home and you're not at Disney and you look at the times and it's just like, wow, this ride's like 2 hours. Oh, this ride's only 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's one way to reach Disney while you're away and you're wanting to go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, get on there and explore. I mean, you can look at all different kinds of things on there.
Actually, if you're having, you know, have any problems, like I said, always, you know, give them a call. Mm-hmm. So I think it's what they're wanting to do is, ideally, is to get a web-based system, which ultimately reduces headcount for them so they don't have many people there to take reservations. But it's not going to be a perfect system. They're always going to have some you know, humans to answer questions and glitches, especially now as the system gets more advanced and, you know, supported by the web. I'm sure, you know, you said it may take longer to get to actual people because, you know, probably it is. It's reduction of headcount and reduced costs.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I told you, I said before, you know, to really have the great Disney experience, you have to plan. If you just want to make your reservations to go and show up, and especially if you've never been, you know, it's just so overwhelming.
You're going to have a hard time.
Yeah, and the chances are you may not like it. You know, I mean, depending on where you go, you know, there's thousands of people in every place you go, and you may have problems getting, you know, dining, reservations. You know, you can still get walk-up, but that's becoming less common, you know, for the sit-down restaurants. So that's one thing you need to do is really, you know, get your dining. You start 180 days out, look at those times, restaurants you want, and, you know, do some planning. You don't have to consume it, but, you know, take, you know, 30 minutes here or there every day and focus on what you want to look at.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, start with either dining or start with the parks and kind of tailor your vacation to that. So, yes, it's supposed to be relaxing, but, you know, with a little pre-planning ahead of time at home, you can be, you know, more relaxed once you get to the parks and enjoy the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to have fun.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I mean, don't let it consume you, as, you know, some electronics things, like electronic age and media, social media and stuff. Sometimes we can get, you know, really addicted, and you know, don't let it consume you. But, you know, it's there. It's a very good tool to use to help enhance your vacation, make it flow and be, you know, better for you in the long run and your family.
Maybe make a day that you don't do anything.
Yeah, I highly recommend that.
Don't plan anything.
Or at least take time out during the day to just sit and relax by the pool, or do, you know, downtown Disney, go bowling, to do something off the beaten path, because...
Yeah, especially your travel day. That's one of the things that we're learning. You know, we used to drive all night and get there and hit the parks and after a couple hours sleep and go, but, you know, now as we get older and, you know, we try to usually go halfway or, you know, a little pass and get there mid-morning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're flying down and your flight gets in mid-afternoon, you know, if you don't want to use a park ticket that day, you want to just hang out at your resort. You know, resorts have lots of things to offer, lots of places to eat, lots of, you know, entertainment. You know, you can go shopping, go to downtown Disney, spend, you know, a good half a day there, and get your shopping knocked out for the trip.
That's
the way you can spend... That way you can spend lots of time in the parks.
Yeah. That's always a good relaxing day. And you can, like, plan a day at downtown Disney,
yeah,
like we did, which is like, you don't do anything except shop and hear a giant sucking sound from your wallet.
Yeah. And spend, and then you spend, like, hours and hours looking for a parking space.
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, because it is under renovation, you know, throughout the entire year. You know, they're building a parking garage. They have, you know, consumed some parking spaces. You know, I think for that, they're, you know, still working in those general areas, so it is becoming more congested. So, you know, I suggest if you can take alternate route, you know, take the boat trips.
Take the boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From the Old Key West or Port Orleans, Riverside, French Quarter, one of those, even Saratoga, you know, there's a small boat ride, even though it's right next door.
Well, yeah, usually if it's... To just to butt in, but if it's not an extremely high-rated, crowded time, they'll let you go park there. You just go to the resort and say, I want to go in and look, and they'll let you park.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the boat and have your nice leisurely ride rather than dealing with the downtown Disney parking.
Yeah.
But I think you made a really good point about not being consumed, because one of the things we noticed about our Disney experience, it can consume you. And you can sit there and you can try to say what-if scenarios and plan this dining here and plan this fast pass here and all that kind of stuff, and it'll eat your time up. Mm-hmm. It'll eat up hours of your day.
And it'll make you not like Disney.
And it's not a vacation if you do that. So just take it easy. And it was like what you were saying, Kristen. Just take a half hour here and a half hour there and just research it.
Because you'll miss out. You'll miss out on a lot of things. Like Epcot and Hollywood Studios specifically, they have sideshows. You know, like you go walk down the streets in Hollywood studios and these men are out doing a little show. Stop and watch it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of that experience. And that's what we didn't do when we first started going. We didn't take the time to stop and watch that stuff. You know, Epcot, just about every country has something. China has the acrobats. Morgan likes to watch the acrobats in China. You know, stop and watch it. These people are extremely talented. A lot of them do audience participation and pull you into it. And it's just
rubbish
fun.
In England?
Yeah, it's fun for the kids. It's fun for you. It's, you know, it's just a, they're good things to just stop and watch. Yeah. And it's just, to me, that's the whole Disney experience. It's not just going and riding, getting on those rides.
Yeah, rides are not all of it.
I mean, how many times have we ridden all those rides?
A lot.
And so, you know, how much has it changed since 6 months ago when we went? Probably not much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's a new show or something I haven't seen, I'd just soon see that. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's your first time going, I can understand you wanting to push and push and push and get on the rides. But you'll kill yourself trying to do it. We have been, I don't even know how many times we've been to Disney. We've never done everything. And we probably never will do a lot.
We'll never do everything in Disney. There's always something new popping around the corner.
And it's just
impossible.
And
some of the stuff you don't even know they even had.
And so just take your time. Enjoy yourself as your family. Enjoy your family time. You know, spend the time with your kids. Do the magical thing your kid wants. If your kid wants to stop and watch the Barbershop Singers in Magic Kingdom, stop and watch them. That ride will be there. It won't leave. And that's
part of the magic.
That's part of the magic. And if that's what your child wants to do rather than go ride Dumbo, then that's what your child wants to do, and that's what your child is going to remember from that trip.
Yeah, just cancel your FastPass Plus. I mean,
don't show up.
Don't be consumed, like you said, Todd. That was a perfect thing. Don't be consumed on it. It's a vacation. It's a planning tool, but it shouldn't dictate your time there, wouldn't think.
Right.
So, all right. Anybody got anything else?
Oh, and sometimes the little stuff is just as big as, just as important as the big stuff.
It is. Yeah, like when a cast member comes up to you and shakes your hand or talks to you or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to remember down the road of them making you feel special about being in the park or riding Dumbo? That's going to be there for years, right?
So.
Like when they call the little kids like prince and princess, that's like the little things that make you remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or you know, the character experiences. If you go get to see your favorite character. You know, that's time-consuming in itself. You have to stand in line to see that princess or you know, Star Wars character or whatever, Mickey or Minnie or whoever you want to see. You have to stand in line for that. But if that's what that child really wants to do, do it. Yeah. You know, it's worth it. It's just worth it.
Yeah, one thing I want to ask you, we didn't really touch about, we mentioned in passing, use your magic bands to purchase stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that, like I said, y'all have used it, we have not used it yet. So how does that work? Is it working different than the cards?
You make a pin.
So you have
a pin for your magic band. So you go up and you touch it to the little Mickey head. And I think it's a 4-digit pin that you have. And then...
So you make a reservation, you go online to My Disney Experience, you link your reservation and pick out your magic bands, what color you want, etc., and they get mailed to you.
They do.
So just like your packet used to.
Beautiful box. You get your
luggage tags, mm-hmm. and you get this big envelope for Disney. That was a great thing in the mail that day. Oh, the Disney stuff is here.
Yeah.
With your itinerary, you know, confirming that you're coming to Disney World. So now you get this box of your magic bands in it.
We actually got two boxes. Well, the first time we went, we got one box with just magic bands in it. The next trip that we took, for the upcoming trip in March, we got like a little fob. Like a little
flash drive.
Right, yeah. We got those.
And then you get, and I think that helps to introduce you to the process.
Okay.
And then you get magic bands after that. Usually like a month before your trip is actually...
Okay, so what do? Do you take your magic band and go into the resort check-in?
It's kind of the same thing with a card. You can either agree to go ahead and put your credit card on file onto your magic band.
Online,
or you can wait until you get there and do it, which I just feel safer doing it that way. We always just say, no, I'll wait till we get there. Mm-hmm. You give them the credit card that you want, and they'll give you, $1,000?
It's whatever you determine. Or $900.
No.
It's up to $1,000.
Okay, up to $1,000.
Quantity on there.
And then once you reach $1,000, which you usually do, you just go back and you accept the papers and you reopen it.
Right.
You just agree that you want $1,000.
Another line of credit. Just to make sure somebody steals it and puts false charges or buys something that's expensive.
But the pen makes it almost not be able to do that unless you tell somebody your PIN. I mean, we set up our PIN at the time that we checked in.
Okay.
So we have to punch that in. Nobody knows that except for you. You do it on a little keypad that has a little Mickey head on it.
Okay.
And then after that point, everybody's set up with that same PIN. So the only people that know that's in your group. So even if somebody steals your magic band,
mm-hmm.
They can't get into the park because it's linked by your fingerprint.
Because you're still have a fingerprint.
And then you can't make purchases with it unless you know your PIN.
Okay.
Even on the little iPod things or on the little kiosk keypads.
Okay.
So that's pretty safe. The only thing that isn't safe is your room. So if somebody sees you coming out mm-hmm. of your room and you drop your magic band, mm-hmm. you don't realize you dropped it. I mean, this is like worst case scenario.
Right.
They could take that if they knew what room you were in, go back and put it up on your door and you could get into your room.
Okay. What you could have done with the card as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But for about paying for like the dining reservation, you said they come and scan it with your little iPod device or mm-hmm. you have to give your PIN in for that?
You do, yeah. You have to give your PIN in for that. And that's almost like your signature.
Okay. So you don't have to sign anything. You just can scan it and authorize.
And then you're gone.
The charge to your card or your room or bill, however you're going to pay for it, then enter your PIN and you're gone.
Which makes it super simple because usually you had to put your card in the little sleeve and then wait for them to come back and then you sign it and you take your card and then you can leave. This, they bring up a little iPod, they put it on your band, you put in your PIN and then you can leave right after that.
And you add tip to that?
You add your tip to that.
And do you get a receipt or have the option to have an email receipt? I know people now are going... Even your receipts are going away from paper. You know, they'll ask you a lot of the big, you know, department stores and businesses are, you know, do you want an email receipt?
Now, I think that what we had.
You still get a receipt.
I think you still get the receipts.
Yeah, and it was like a California Grill. I think I was mistaken about the tip. I think they bring it out, the receipt out to you, and then you sign it, and then you leave. Or you put the tip on there, and then you leave.
Okay. So you still get a little card holder thing with your receipt.
Yeah.
Then you can add a tip from that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else?
No.
Just looking forward to experience it in March.
Yeah, you'll like it. It'll be good. All right. Well, thanks so much for everyone listening. If you got any questions or comments, all of our contact information is in our show notes. Again, we really appreciate you guys still supporting us in 2014 and listening to us. And as always,
hope all your dreams are magical dreams.